recorded live.
Hey, Jay, what's up?
Oh, you know, not much. And you?
Oh, I'm just, I was just sitting here wondering if you were ever going to call.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes I put my phone on vibrate when I'm in meetings or in the office, and unfortunately, oftentimes I forget to unvibrate it, and so that I never notice when people try to get in touch.
I put it on vibrate whenever I'm just looking for a good time.
And yeah, I understand that feeling too.
But the problem is lately my phone has been just going off, vibrating for no particular reason. False alarms.
Wow. That's no good.
I was thinking, though, to have a nightcap here, and I'm totally befuddled. I don't know what to select. Can you guide me?
Really? Well, my selections are becoming more and more simple over time, both because I'm predictable and also because, you know, we're lucky when we have one bottle of booze in the house.
Wow.
You know, I'm having my good old bourbon.
Okay, well, perhaps I should join you then. Although it just seems a little, I've just had a couple of gin and tonics, and it just seems like such a wrenching change of direction in terms of the palate, you know what I'm saying? The flavor.
Yeah, I understand the feeling. But, you know, it's important to provide contrast in your own life and in the lives of others that you love.
What if I was to put, you know, of course, I mix my gin and tonics with a little lime squeezed in there. What if I was to put a little citrusy something like this Creole shrub in with the burp?
That would be creative. You could call it a rub-a-dub shrub.
A rub-a-dub shrub. Wow. You should be a bartender.
Yeah, exactly. I used to play one on TV, but then we went all low tech.
Yeah. Although, you know, really, this is a very high tech proposition right now because we've both dialed into an online, I don't even know what we've dialed into, some kind of conferencing service, TalkShoe, and they are. Providing a platform upon which we can talk to each other via cell phones, and the whole thing gets recorded and put on the internet.
It's kind of like self-imposed wiretapping.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, what I'm my point is that it's kind of high tech, actually.
Yeah.
TalkShoe has actually right now got a call out, as I think we mentioned by email. To become famous friends. Their idea is basically just that they want to get some people together who will have regular conversations using their technology to record them. And that's exactly what we're doing anyway.
Exactly.
So
isn't that ironic?
We should.
Is there money involved is what I want to know.
I'm sure there's money involved, but I'm not sure if we would get any.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's often how things are in my life. You know, I know that there's money sort of swirling around in the social and monetary transactions that I'm engaged in, but it never seems to come my way.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things around...
Yeah.
I thought I should get kind of gauge your feelings, reactions, and opinions about the old H1N1.
Is that like a Hyundai or something?
That's beautiful. And you work for a newspaper, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I just wanted to make sure. I just think things look a little...
I don't work on the automotive desk, I should note.
Yeah. I just wanted to note that things look a little different down closer, further south.
Yeah.
Looking a little different.
The cars are probably all convertibles, aren't they?
H1N1 is the swine flu.
Oh, that thing, yeah.
Yeah, they're calling it H1N1.
Yeah, well, H1N1 is so unpoetic that I saw it written down at one point, and I thought, you know what? I just won't agree to call it that.
Yeah,
you know, swine flu has such a kind of, you know, nobody calls pigs swine anymore. So swine is really, you know, it has that implication of nastiness. You know, it's actually an insult to call someone swine.
It is also an insult to call someone a pig, I would mention. But
it's not much of an insult to say you bastardly H1N1 you.
No,
see what I'm saying?
That's exactly the point, I suppose, because there are no documented cases of this particular strain of virus in pigs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
isn't that ironical?
They feel swine flu is something of a misnomer.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it might put people off their pork consumption, and we couldn't have that. Plus, there's also supposedly some kind of consideration that in certain parts of the world where maybe people don't eat pork, that the whole thing would have connotations which are entirely inappropriate.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I feel for the pigs right now.
And
I should say also the people who are suffering from swine flu.
Oh, yes, so that's a nice afterthought. Here in Louisiana, we have like 60 cases that were being tested the other day. And they haven't had the results from any of those, made public anyway. But eight of them have gone on to the CDC in Atlanta, which who knows what that means. But the level of concern is definitely starting to rise. You know, we're not that far from Mexico. We're on the Gulf of Mexico. And
right.
So forth, and it seems to be kind of coming up from there. So.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this feeling that we're overdue for a pandemic.
Yeah, certainly that's the case, and you know, we seem to make a practice in our conversations of opining about things that we understand little, and yet you know, have much to say about. But you know, my take on this whole thing. First of all, you know, up here in Montana, there haven't been any documented cases, or really any. It's not, at least last I heard, which was earlier today, there wasn't anything that anybody was really even suspecting was swine flu. Now, interestingly enough, there has been a virus that has swept across Missoula, seemingly in the blink of the eye. It sounds like it was mostly sort of pushed around via text message among junior high and high school students about how there was somebody who had it and you know, had been at school or something like that, and so
a biological virus or
no, not at all. This is a pure meme virus. You know, it's a, you know, this false belief that spread far faster than any real virus would ever spread. But it's sort of, you know, more like a computer virus in that regard.
Sure. So what is the belief?
This belief we were getting calls I heard the reporter who's covering this talking to someone on the phone today and trying to patiently but firmly say, you know, I don't know how you expect me to go back to the health department and tell them that even though they're in constant contact with all the doctors and hospitals and whatnot in town and haven't seen any cases of this, that you know there's a case that hasn't been publicized.
Wait, so this is about the H1N1?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
In other words, so maybe I didn't make myself clear. There was a text message that was apparently going around, and I'm not exactly sure what it was, but it was something to the effect of, somebody had the virus and was at school and had been giving it to a bunch of people. You know, it's just the kind of like somebody was really whipping it up among the kids who don't quite understand the whole mechanism and the whole thing.
So you've got some swine flu hysteria there, but you don't have any actual cases.
Right, exactly. So,
whereas
it's
here,
been
we're keeping it calm, we're keeping it cool, we're keeping it collected. We're thinking about, we're having Jazz Fest here in New Orleans. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, but it's
a
very popular little thing. And it has occurred to me, by the way, that you can divide New Orleanians into four distinct camps.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who like Mardi Gras and Jazz Fest, both. They like them both. You got people who hate them both. And then you have people who like one but don't like the other. In fact, so that's four camps. Now, of those four, we can make certain characterizations. You know, people who like both Jazz Fest and Mardi Gras, well, they're just kind of, you know, party animals. They're indiscriminate fun lovers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, say no more. I think we understand where they're coming from. And then you have the people who hate both. Well, they're killjoys.
Yeah.
But the real, I think, crux of the matter comes down to looking at people who like one but don't like the other. And I think that really reveals everything there is to know about the psyche of the city of New Orleans and the human spirit.
Yeah. Well, so have you actually engaged in analyzation of some of these people's psyches?
Well, I have in a kind of Hunter S. Thompson-esque fashion, but I can't tell you anything about that.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
So,
that was a dead-end
conversation. So what are you doing there in New Orleans, in wherever you are? Where are you anyway?
Missoula. I'm in Missoula, and we're you know, I had a it's been kind of a whirlwind week, as it were. I had a bunch of stories to write for the newspaper, of course, as I always do. But then last night was this event that we do once every 6 months or so called Opera on Draft. It's organized by this opera company that I've mentioned before. Basically, we have a bunch of opera singers who go into a local bar. It's the bar where all the kind of hipster alternative rock acts perform. And they sing a bunch of famous arias. And it's sponsored by Pabst Blue Ribbon. And it was a total hoot. It was awesome. We had a little over 200 people there, and we did this sing-along thing. The theme of this particular iteration of Opera on Draft was learn to sing Italian in 5 beers or less. And and sure enough, by the very end of the show, we had the entire audience singing along at the top of their lungs to that great operatic classic. I believe it's called Volare. Which I don't really know anything about, actually. I think it's a Dean Martin song, actually.
Volare.
Yeah, that song. I think I've heard you sing that song.
Of course.
Yeah. So that was great fun, and so I think it served to whip up excitement about this summer opera festival. I actually had a very interesting experience last night. You know, for a long time, I've held as sort of my standard of trying to break through certain prejudices that I know exist among my age group and my social group. There was this family of brothers, actually. The Hickey brothers. I'll even name them by name because I've already talked to them about this anyway. But These three brothers, Brian, Colin, and Shane. Brian is my next door neighbor, and he and I were in this kind of goofy punk pop band together. Brian is also in a band called The Volumen, with Shane, his older brother. Volume is kind of like the elder statesman of the local punk scene, so to speak. I mean, they're not really a punk band, but sort of in that genre. And then their youngest brother, Colin, is the guy who books all the shows at that bar. He used to book shows at this place called Jay's Upstairs, which was sort of this legendary punk dive bar. And he was also the lead singer for a band called the International Playboys, who were quite awesome. And so, you know, I kind of had it in my mind.
That's a literary record.
Yeah, exactly. So if he, I had it in my mind that if I could get those guys to dig what we were doing and to get it, then I had achieved, you know, at least I'd gotten over the hump, as it were. And last night was the first time that I convinced any of them to even show up, which, you know, I understand. I totally understand, because there was a time when I thought opera, yeah, right. But both Colin and Shane showed up, and during the show I was texting back and forth with Colin because he was on the other side of the room and I literally couldn't get over there because it was so crowded. And at one point he texted me and said, "This is awesome. I can't believe this. My 21-year-old self would fucking hate me, but I'm having a great time." And then it turns out a little later that he tells me that Shane, his older brother, actually cried during one of the arias, which was totally unexpected for both of them. So I would say that we have finally achieved world domination. You know, the thing that I think that we can now legitimately say is that, you know, opera is the new alternative, because, of course, you know, everybody's into alternative music now. Nobody's into opera. So it's kind of the new cool underground thing.
I think you should say we made the Hickey Brothers cry.
Yeah, well, we could do that too. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Shane outed himself on my Facebook profile, so he's gone public with his tears.
Wow.
So there, yeah.
I'm
jacked, I guess, is the point here. I'm jazzed, I'm pumped. You know,
you're operated.
Yeah, exactly. We've got this this festival coming up in like a little over a couple months, where we're trying to put on two full scale operas with you know, singers from all over the place and a full orchestra and sets and all this kind of stuff. And we've got to raise like $50,000 between now and then, but I actually feel kind of excited about this, and like it can happen. And that's a pretty cool feeling, especially given, I mean, I think that it's particularly cool that at this time when the whole economy is just going to shit, we would do this ridiculous thing.
And perhaps Blue Ribbon is helping out.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, it occurs to me, though, that opera, of course, has this kind of reputation of being uptight and so forth. But although, as you and I both know, in practice, opera can be quite soulful.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me actually just today that, you know what's really uptight? Is madrigals.
Yeah. Yeah, they're I definitely agree. Yeah. You know, there's I think that unfortunately, you know, people have this impression of opera as being you know, either there's like the Viking woman in horns, or in a horned helmet or whatever, you know, which is just kind of so ridiculous that it doesn't make sense to most people, or it seems, you know, it's like, you know, frills and powdered wigs and all of that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think that the frills and powdered wigs, you're absolutely right. There's your madrigal for you. But, and, you know, some people are into that, and it has its place in this world, but it's not a you know, I mean, people who are into that music usually know darn good and well that they're into something bizarre and weird, and they're okay with that.
Yes, indeed.
Whereas it bears pointing out that opera was, it was television, you know, back in the 1800s. It was the place that you went to get just really great multimedia high drama. And it wasn't always great. And there's really, you know, my personal opinion is that there's maybe 10 operas that I can just sit through end to end and be transfixed and blown away. And the rest are, you know, it's just like with any movie or whatever. You start to etch away at the edges of perfection.
Indeed.
I
hear something going on upstairs, and I'm just, feel free to continue expostulating, but I'm just going to creep upstairs and see what's going on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, so I will continue then, since I've been dominating this conversation already, and say that this Saturday is our 11th annual running of the Montana Beef Steaks, which always comes conveniently on the same day as the Kentucky Derby. Wow, I hear a squeaker.
There's some howling going on here.
Yeah.
Are we changing the diaper?
Ah, yes. The mid-evening poo?
I don't know. Well, this might be a good time for me to go.
Yeah, it sounds like it. But I suspect that, we will talk again soon.
I wanted to say that although I think Chrissy's got things under control there, that the parental situation is such that I do feel I should kind of go up and
show your moral support. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So
I know that feeling.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
It's good talking to you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.